15:8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." You identify with me by the fruit that you bear. You imitate me. People will know you are imitating me by the fruit that you bear in your life. That the life you live looks like me, talks like me, breathes like me, has the characteristics of who Jesus is in his word, has the heart of God, has the passion of God, has the desires of God. Now, again, we're raising the standard here. I'm giving you the highest standards. And this is what we're supposed to seek to attain. Rabbi does not accept somebody unless they had the potential to reach those high standards. And I believe every one of us, in the power of the Holy Spirit, with Christ in our hearts, can attain those standards in his presence, in his spirit, in his power. I cannot be like Jesus if the Holy Spirit isn't in me, teaching me to be like Jesus. Revealing the truths of God in his word. Coming to life in my life. So by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You reflect me. When you look in the mirror, you see me. You see what I'm doing in you. You see how your life is changing and formulating. John 14:12 says this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." A student carries on the legacy. A Talmudim carries on the legacy of a rabbi. His teachings live on in the life and lifestyle, and the lifestyle philosophy and the characteristics of the Talmudim. Paul, his rabbi, his teacher was Gamaliel. And we read about that in Acts. Everything he did as Gamaliel would have. So Paul was trying to be like his rabbi. A Talmudim would want to be like his rabbi, our rabbi, Jesus. And here's the thing, what did Jesus do? I was reading this week, two things basically summarize Jesus' ministry. He preached the gospel and he cast out demons. Simply speaking, those were the two things that Jesus mainly did. He preached the truths of God, but then in the power of the Holy Spirit in him, he did the supernatural. He moved in the supernatural. Whether this demonic presence was attacking people physically and he healed them physically, whether it's spiritually and cast out the bondage they were under, or emotionally, or even the bondage of the law, being stuck in rigorous in tradition and religion instead of relationship. But that's what he did. He cast out those things that hindered the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. The same thing he wants to do to us. We're hearing his word being preached, his truth. We receive his word by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But then we operate, we move, we live by the standards of his word through the Holy Spirit in us that's forming us into the image of Christ. We're becoming imitators of Christ. One of the things Jesus did is move in that supernatural. We are going to move, continue to move in the supernatural. We are going to continue to move. This morning, you know, God's timing is perfect. As I was studying in my own devotion time, read about the paralytic, where the four friends opened up the roof, sent him down when Jesus was teaching, and Jesus healed him physically, and then Jesus healed him, you know, forgave his sins. But the thing that caught my eye is what the people said. They were amazed and said, "We've never seen anything like this before." And that bothered me. You know why? Because we have too many churches, too many Christians who are saying, "I've never seen anything like this before," when we should be seeing the signs, the wonders, and the miracles taking place in our churches. These things should be happening. I should expect God to heal because that's what God wants to do. I should expect God to move because that's what he wants to do. That's what Jesus did. He preached the gospel and he cast out those things that have been oppressing people in every which way from moving and becoming and forming into the image of Christ. That's what we should do. And that's what our expectation is here. We are going to be a church that's going to move in those supernatural ways. And if that's not comfortable for some, then this may not be the church for them. But this is what we're going to do, because to encounter the presence of God, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the heart of everything we do. He empowers us to move as Jesus moved. Jesus was fully man. He operated in the Spirit of God to do what he did. Same thing. And we learned that in the men's group set a Thursday night. Second difference between a student and a Talmudee. A student wants to maintain the kingdom of God. Keep the status quo. Keep things just the way they are. Stick with the tradition. Not make changes. Not rub anybody wrong. Not push the envelope. You know, we just want to be a happy family. A Talmudine wants to advance the kingdom of God. A student of the day, a Talmudine of the day, would want to take the philosophies and teachings of his rabbi and want them to be made known. Because that student or that Talmudine, as he grows up and becomes who his rabbi was, is going to take his own Talmudine to continue passing on those philosophies, those teachings, those things. A Talmudine wants to advance the kingdom, not maintain it. We don't want to just keep the status quo. That's called complacency. That's called spiritual laziness. Guess what? When we do that, when we just say, you know what? We're happy the way we are as a church. We're just going to stay the way they are. We're not going to push it. We're not going to make changes. We're not going to do anything. You know what the devil says? Good. I don't need to worry about you guys then. You're doing my job for me. Because you're not taking back the ground that the enemy stole from our lives, stole from the kingdom of God. We're not taking back people. We need to press and press and fight to advance the kingdom. It's a Talmudine is not complacent, whereas a student is complacent and not driven. A Talmudine is not complacent. He wants to take back the ground, or she wants to take back ground. They are purpose-driven. They have intentionality, they have strategy, they have a purpose, they have a plan, they have a direction they're going in, and they know whose authority they are going in. A true Talmudine would go in the authority of their rabbi. We go in the authority of Jesus Christ that he's put inside of us, in his Holy Spirit that he's given us. So purpose-driven and intentional. A Talmudine is an equipper, someone who disciples other people. More than a mentor, but hey, I want you to be like me. You do it as I do it. So you can be exactly like me and better. What father doesn't want their child to do better than they did as growing up, to have more money? Well, as a Talmudine, isn't that what Jesus just said to us here in 14:12, that you will do greater works than this? This is what he desires for us in the Holy Spirit as we become his Talmudine. A Talmudine is a spiritual warrior. They will defend their faith. They will press into their faith. You know, they will use the gifts, the things they've been equipped with to do spiritual battles. I've been praying over my wife, and she's been praying over me lately a lot. Give us discerning of spirits so we can know when the enemy's attacking and who the enemy is, so we know how to pray and how to command and how to come against them in the authority of God. A few scriptures here. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because of that authority, you go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. His Spirit is with us always. Psalm 2:8, I love this. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Ask of me, and I'll go and give you these things, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Someone prophetically shared earlier the scripture, and I, if I am lifted up from earth, will draw all people to myself. John 12:32. If I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. If this is going to be a place where people are seeking to be true Talmudim in the image of Christ, imitators of Christ, we are encountering Christ. Guess what? People are going to be drawn to something real, something tangible, something powerful, something supernatural that's not going to make sense, but people are going to be drawn because it's going to change your life. He's going to change and speak into their lives. He will do these things. Ephesians 3, 8-12 says this, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this is Paul writing. Listen, the Apostle Paul, the greatest evangelist of all time, I am the least of all the saints, he says, of all the Christians. I'm at the bottom of the barrel. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentile the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Work through me to bring that revelation, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Now look at this. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known to the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have what? Boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. A few months ago, I shared with some of you how powerful that verse spoke to me. Verse 10 here. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known, not to the church, not to people, but by the church, by people, but look to who? To the devil, to principalities, to powers in the heavenly places. He's telling us that the purpose of this equipping is that we will be able to stand tall and serve notice to the devil, to his minions, as a church. He's not saying to the intent that the wisdom of God might be made known to the church. The presence of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God has already told us who we are in God. We know who we are in God. And if you don't see me, I'll tell you who you are in God after service. How precious you are to God. How powerful you are as a weapon of heaven for the kingdom of God. The warrior that you are created to be. He's telling us, you Christian warriors, you stand up in my name and you serve the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, notice of who you are, who I am to you, and the ground you're taking back. A Talmudim is advancing the kingdom of God, not maintaining. They're moving forward. They're pressing in. They're passionate about what God is doing. They're believing what God is doing. They're not going to take a backseat to what the enemy's going to do. When the enemy attacks, they don't cower. They take the Word of God and the authority they have in the Spirit of God and declare the Word of God over the enemy, over the situation in faith. That's what a Talmudim does. They advance the kingdom of God. They're moving forward. They don't pull back. They don't pitch a tent. They move forward to advance. That's what a Talmudim. So number one, Talmudin wants to be just like the rabbi. Number two, Talmudin wants to advance the kingdom of God. Are you a Talmudin? Are you one? Third and final point, a Talmudin's life is intricately woven within the life of his rabbi. Whereas a student, they live separate lives. They're just seeking that knowledge. A Talmudin, his whole life is wrapped around the rabbi. Where the rabbi goes, he goes. What the rabbi says, he's listening to every word. He does not do anything without the rabbi being involved in it, without honoring him, without something. The Bible says God sticks closer than a brother. He's like the air that we breathe. Not just have our own lives. Unfortunately, that's a problem. Many Christians come to church, worship with the body as one, wrapping this hour, hour and a half around Jesus as their rabbi, but then go home and live their own separate lives. That's not a Talmudin. That's a student. See, a student remains separate and distinct from the rabbi. Completely separate. He wants knowledge to make his own life better. Which brings back those first two points. Not about the kingdom. It's about knowledge, and knowledge for knowledge's sake and for themselves. He stays independent, whereas the Talmudin, their lives are wrapped around the lives of the rabbi. Their relationship with the rabbi is the most important relationship they have. Nothing else matters to them but their relationship with their rabbi. It's stronger, and we're going to see this in a second, than a father-son relationship. The rabbi has every part of every element of their life is involved with the rabbi. It is a sacrifice of their selves. It is a communal thing where they commune, they fellowship, they spend time with the rabbi. They're not distinct. They never go on vacation from the rabbi. They're with the rabbi. And they want to be there. That's the thing. It's an honor. It's a privilege. They want to be there. There's an old Jewish saying to show this point. And this comes from the Mishnah, which is from the Talmud, as we said earlier. Although a man's father brings him into the world, his master, the rabbi, brings him into the world to come. Rabbi is more important than a father to a son. An oral law, a Jewish oral law, says this from the Mishnah as well. If a disciple's father and teacher were taken captive, the disciple must first ransom his rabbi, and then afterwards, if he can, ransom the father. Rabbi was more important than the father because of these things. So now, when we read Luke 4:26, you'll see what Jesus was saying here. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my Talmudin. Talmudin. This word hate comes from the idiom which uses extreme comparisons to emphasize a point. It's not literal hate. It's just trying to make a distinction between one point and another. So he's saying, not that you're supposed to spew venom hate on your mom and dad, but it shouldn't be a choice between your rabbi or all these other people. It should be a no-brainer. You shouldn't take more than like a half a second to make that decision. That's what this is saying. A disciple's love for a rabbi should be so strong that it makes his love for his father look like hate in comparison. Not that he hates him, but makes it look like hate in comparison. Are you a Talmudin? Are you your life wrapped around Jesus so much that you're willing to in comparison, seem like you're rejecting your own family for Christ? Now, look at Matthew 10, 37 and 38. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me, is not worthy to be my Talmidim. Remember I said that the rabbis pick the best of the best who they want to be their Talmidim. See, we've already been picked by Jesus. Now the choice is up to us. Are we going to choose to be that? Are we going to keep ourselves humbly in the place of a Talmidim with Jesus as our rabbi? Are we ready to give up everything for Christ's sake? Am I ready to be who the rabbi was, my rabbi was, and is today, Jesus, to be like Jesus, an imitator? Am I ready to advance the kingdom, his principles, his ways, his love, his power, his authority, his glory, his name? And is my life intricately woven in the life of my rabbi, Jesus Christ? Is he a part of everything in my life? From when I sit down to when I get up, from when I go to the bathroom to when I cook in the kitchen, to when I'm at work or I'm at play, I'm at church or in my backyard. It doesn't matter. Is my life, every aspect of my life, intricately woven? Talmid would never say to his rabbi, "Hey rabbi, I'm taking the night off. I'm going to go to the pub with my friends. I'll see you tomorrow morning." He'll never leave his rabbi behind. Wherever the rabbi would travel, wherever he would go there. He would go where the rabbi is going. The rabbi didn't go where the Talmidim was going. So as we live our lives, and our lives are intricately woven with Jesus Christ, are we so sensitive to his Holy Spirit that we know where he is going in our lives, where he is taking us, and are we willing to follow in that direction? Paul Gibbs, from his book, The Line and the Dot, says, "It is not so much the act of witness, witness, which advances the kingdom, but rather the act of withness." Is that up there? Nope. Witness, W-I-T-H. It's not your witness, but it's who you are with. Your withness that advances the kingdom of God. Not the act of witness, but who you are with. If you're not going in the power of God, something's wrong. It's amazing how you can get up and preach and do all these things and have the most eloquent message, have the most amazing worship set, do perfect church, and nothing happened. But when the power of God is in you, you can say hello and people are going to be hit with the Holy Spirit. If that's what God wants to do at that moment. It's who you are with that makes the difference. It's the encountering of the presence of Jesus Christ that will make the difference. We encourage you to bring people to church because I believe, and most of us here believe, that when we come together, we are encountering Jesus Christ. They need to encounter Jesus Christ. People need to. Now, it's in whose power, authority, knowledge, speech, methods, judgments, understanding, etc., that we move in. But we also realize that there was times when even our perfect rabbi, Jesus Christ, could preach an amazing sermon, can do all kinds of amazing things. But then we read in John 6:66, after people who sit there and watched all these things happen, it says here, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Being a Talmidim is not easy. It is a humble commitment to be mentored by the perfect mentor. To allow this mentor to come into the deepest and darkest places of your life to shine light unto them. And it sometimes means we have to break some of the ideologies and our old ways of thinking and being for this to happen. We got to be humbled before God to do this. I've shared this before, and I'm feeling led by the Holy Spirit to share this right now again. Some of you know this, so forgive me for repeating myself. But with our former pastor, Pastor Joe, spent almost 5 years under him as a mentor. And I have to tell you, within the first year, I hated being under him. Hated it passionately. The reason being, he was hard as nails on me. If I showed up 15 minutes before a service, he'd get on me. You need to be here an hour early. Because these are spiritual disciplines. You don't just show up and do church. You come prepared. You come focused. You come prayed up. All these spiritual disciplines. Even to the point where I cried out to God, I'm leaving this church, Lord. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm done. When I told you I cried, I'm telling you, I cried. And the Holy Spirit would not let me go. I kept saying, no, you need to stay there. You need to stay there. And I fought with God and fought for the last 3.5 years. Now, I'm thankful. Because he instilled in me as my rabbi during that time, interim rabbi. He instilled in me character qualities that I needed to have. It was not easy. Jesus is trying to instill in us as his Talmudim character qualities that bring forth the character image of Christ. So we can become imitators of Christ. And it's not going to be easy. That's why these people walked away. But one thing I can promise you, you will be blessed when you do it. When you humbly submit yourself, you will be blessed. When you humbly submit yourself under his authority, you will be blessed. Your life will change. As you lift him up and make him your everything, he will give you everything you need. He will equip you to make a difference in your life, in the lives of those around you, and an advancer of the kingdom of God. That's a Talmudim. So now, are you one? Because Jesus is looking for people who want to be who Jesus was and is today, to have his heart, the heart of God, and the mind of Christ, and walk in the authority that God has given us. Are you a Talmudim? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, speak.